Matthew chapter 11. We'll begin in verse number 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemeth good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. So a great, great load, a great, impossible task to be able to keep the law as it was in the days of the Lord Jesus. And you know, he was the means for man to have rest. I believe that we all like to rest. I believe that's true. You know, you work and a lot of folks are looking forward to a day that they can retire and rest from that daily labor. You know, in the Jewish economy, under the law, man never was able to rest. The priests were never able to rest. It was a continual ongoing to try to offer. Now, you just think with me now. Continually, this man is failing to meet the requirements of God. So the priest was continually offering sacrifices to try to keep the judgment of God off of man. But Jesus, you know, Jesus says to us here in this Word of God, and you know, he's revealing the way. He's revealing that he is the way. He's revealing a way to rest to babes, not to the wise, not to the prudent, not to those that are too smart. We live in a world that's too smart to need Jesus. Well, I mean, we're too good to need Jesus. We're too educated to need Jesus. But I tell you, to babes, to those that are weak and heavy laden, to those that are burdened down, I tell you, thank God the Lord Jesus made a way that you and I could have a rest. And he says over in the Hebrews, there remaineth a rest for the people of God. You know, would you think this? Would you think this when you get 60, when you get 70, wouldn't you like to rest? I mean, we're supposed to have a system that allows man to rest the last few years of his life. But what about a spiritual rest? Jesus said, I come to give you a rest for your soul. I come that you could have a genuine rest. And you know, that rest, you just think about this. Every day that your life is consumed with trying to do the right thing and to meet the requirements of God, and you fail every day. What are you going to do tomorrow? We're going to try again, and we're going to labor, and we're going to be burdened, and we're going to be weighted down. And you know, when we get done tomorrow, we're going to have failed again. But the Son of God came that you and I would be able to have a rest. And I would just say this. Are you weak? Are you heavy laden? Are you tired? Are you wearied? Now, I'm not talking about wearied for working for the Lord. I'm not talking about being wearied for being His servant, because He said His yoke was easy and His burden was light. So there is a means to get that load off of you. And I realize this may not be what man would want to hear. You know, man wants to feel like that he deserves to be saved. He deserves, really man doesn't need to be saved. He deserves heaven. That's what he deserves. He deserves to be have an entrance into heaven. Man wants to feel like he's earned that. You know, I've done more than that fellow over there, and I've not done as bad as that fellow over there. So therefore, God, I feel like, and that's the way it is, I feel like, but what does God say about it? I tell you, there's only one way. There's only one way to make it to heaven. Listen to what the Bible says. He says this, Lord, I thank you that you've not revealed it. You've hid it from the wise and from the prudent. For those that are wise and those that are learned. And Lord, you've revealed it unto babes. And you just think about a babe. How humble, friend, how helpless that a babe is. You know, Jesus said, if you don't come to me as a little child, you'll not be able to enter in. And he even said, you'll have to come to me like this little child. And he called one, and that child came to him, and the Bible said that he set him down in the midst. You know, there was a babe. There was a babe that was humble. There was a babe that was obedient. There was a babe that was willing to hear. There was a babe that wasn't too big to resist. There was a babe that was small enough and willing enough, a friend, to obey what God had to say.
Right.
You know, he says this. He said, strive to enter in. Lord, are there few that be saved? Strive to enter in. Then he says over in the Hebrews, he said, let us labor to enter into his rest. Now, if he does all the work, and he did the dying, and he made the sacrifice, what's he talking about striving and laboring? What would that be? That's it. Here's the battle. You know what I got to strive against? I got to strive against what I think. I've got to wrestle and labor against what I think. I've got to, and that word strive, it means to agonize or to wrestle with. So I wrestle with and I agonize with this, the Word of God versus what I think. I wrestle with what God says versus what I think and how I feel and what I see. You look at this picture. Look at the children of Israel that came out of Egypt, and God promised them a land flowing with milk and honey. And friend, the only way that they could see to do that was to go and spy it out. They couldn't believe God. They wouldn't believe God. They wouldn't take God at His word. They convinced Moses, and Moses gave the approval, and they went over and spied it out and looked it over for 40 days, and when they came back, they said, we can't. There was an agonizing. Now, don't you think that Joshua and Caleb had to agonize with that same thing? They did. They saw the same giants. They saw the same cities. They saw the same people. They saw the chariots. They saw the chariots of iron. But you know what they did? I tell you, friend, they wrestled and they agonized and they believed God over what they saw and what they thought and what the carnal mind brings. They believed the Word of God. You and I have got a wrestling match, and friend, the wrestling match is between us believing what God said and what God has provided versus what I think and what I feel and what I see and my knowledge and my intellect. You know, you look at it and you compare yourselves among yourselves and you say, I don't need a Savior. They need a Savior. That's the way man thinks. They need a Savior. Look at the condition they're in. Look how bad their life is. Look at how it's in such disarray. I mean, my life is in pretty good order. They need a Savior. Boy, I tell you, you talk about a wrestling match and agony and agonizing and wrestling and laboring. That labor is in here. That wrestling and that agonizing is in man. And friend, it's between right here. I believe it's between, it's just about 12 to 16 inches apart between the head and the heart. Because God Almighty sends His Word and brings His conviction and convinces us in the heart, a friend, of the truth of His Word, and man begins to rationalize. And you know what he says? He said, I didn't reveal it unto the wise or to the prudent, unto the learned, unto them that are educated. But he said, I revealed it unto babes. I revealed it unto the little. I revealed it unto the meek. I revealed it unto the teachable. I revealed it unto them, a friend, that are not too high for me to work on. And you know who's going to know God? Those that the Son reveals. You know who's going to know the Son? Those that the Father reveals. Almighty God has to bring a revelation, a friend, unto man of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There's no way that man will ever know God. You know, if we could have peace with God, I tell you, we could be happy. We could have rest. I mean, if I knew God, I could be at rest. How can I know God? Jesus Christ is the avenue to know God. There's no other means to know God but through and by Jesus Christ. So he says this, even so, Father, for so it seemeth good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me. So Jesus, everything is yielded unto Him, and all the church, all of the saved, all of the born again. You know what they are? They are a gift from God unto the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you're saved tonight, you know what you are? You are a gift from God unto the Lord Jesus. That's what you are. He's the bride of the bridegroom, and we're the bride. He's the bridegroom, and we're those that the Father has made available. He's brought us to the place of knowledge. He's revealed His Son unto us and brought conviction upon us. You know, what am I weary of? What am I tired of laboring in? I would say this. I'm tired of trying to labor and to please God, and I am weary of my sinfulness, that I am unable to go through a day without sinning. I'm weary of trying to please God and to live a life of perfection, and I labor and I labor and I labor, and I become more weary, and friend, I become a greater, if you want to count it up or you want to measure it, I become a greater sinner every day. My debt, if you want to measure a sin debt, are we not accumulating? We're accumulating, are we not? So just think with me. Every day of my life, every year older, every day older, I'm more weighted down. I'm more weighted down. Farther and farther down, I'm weighted with a sin, with a daily sin, with a yearly sin, with a decade of sin, a friend, with 10 times 10 times 10, a friend times 10, up times 10, a friend, sin on top of sin on top of sin. And you know what I have? A friend, all through the years, I have a greater knowledge. And yet I have more sin. Loaded. Loaded down, weighted down. Wouldn't it be wonderful to get that weight of sin, to get that weight of guilt, to get that labor to please God, to get that heavy burden and that labor day by day by day, and being weary every day, and come in at the end of the day, spiritually speaking, and say, I am so tired, and you know, I've made no headway today.
Right.
You ever seen that? Have you ever seen at the end of the day, your father in debt than you were yesterday? And you've labored more diligently. You've labored more. You've tried harder. And at the end of the day, you're deeper down and weighted more than you were at the start. Who can relieve us? Who can carry this? Can you bear your sins? What's the wages of sin? Natural death? Temporal death? Eternal death, right? Everlasting death. Death cast into the lake of fire, where the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. There's the wages of sin. So bear in mind now, he says, all you that labor and are heavy laden, come unto me and I'll give you rest. Come unto me, I'll take your yoke. You know what he said? He said, I'll swap yokes with you. Isn't that wonderful? You could get rid of your yoke and you could take his yoke. And you know, my yoke, a friend, it's like a crown of thorns, or it's a yoke made out of a locust. A friend, and all the time that I push into that yoke, it digs in and digs in and digs in and makes me bleed and makes me bloody and makes me more sore and makes me want to push and to pull in the yoke even less. But when I put on his yoke, you know, his yoke is lined with the love of God. His yoke is lined with the grace of God. His yoke, friend, you know what he does? When it gets too heavy for me to pull, you know what that yoke is? That's coupling together. I'm coupled with him. Thank God when I'm unable to pull it, and friend, that'll be 99.9% of the time, I won't even be able to pull my end. Thank God he can pull my part because I'm coupled with him. Take my yoke. Get rid of your yoke. Take the yoke of trying to do. Take the yoke of laboring. Take the yoke, a friend, of trying to live up to the law of God. Take that yoke of comparing yourself unto one another. Take that yoke, a friend, of sin off of you. And take my yoke upon you, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You can't bear the yoke that belongs to you. But he's made a yoke for you that will fit you, that will help you, that will comfort you. And friend, you know what he says? He says, come and learn of me. I'll guide you. I'll teach you. I'll direct you. When you feel like laying down, when you feel like you can't go any farther, you know what he'll do? Friend, he'll stand up and pull you up with him. David said, I was in a horrible pit, and he came down to where I was, and he brought me out. Thank God he come down. You know what he said? He said, he set my feet on a solid rock, established my going. I put a song in my heart. My God, it sounds like that man's got some joy now, where he was wearied and broken and heavy laden and loaded down. He's got something that brings him joy now. He's got the Lord Jesus yoke now. Are you tired? You can come to him. Learn of me. So listen to what the Word of God says. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I'll give you a place of refreshment. I'll give you something. I'll give you a place that you can enjoy. Come unto me, all ye that are wearied, all you that are weighted down, all you that are tired, all of you that are getting weaker, all of you that are running up a greater and greater and greater sin debt each day that goes by. And you got to think about this. Right here in this place, every day that goes by, if I could learn of Him, if I could understand about Him, He took my burden. He bore my shame. He took my iniquity. By His stripes, you and I can be healed. Friend, His yoke is not grievous. His yoke is not that I don't want, but I tell you what He did. Our friend, when He saved me, you know what He gave me? He gave me a desire to be in the yoke with Him. He gave me a desire to be coupled with Him. He gave me a desire that I would want to walk with Him. You know what I'll have to do? Our friend, I'll have to get in step with Him. And just think with me now, if they're out of step, if two animals is headed down the road right here, and they're in a yoke, and they're out of step with one another, one of them's going to be pulling more than the other. It's going to be an awkward situation, isn't it? But you know what the Lord said? He says, come and learn of me. Come and walk with me. I tell you, there was a man, a friend, a man that helped the Lord carry the cross. A friend, there was a man that followed after us, what the Bible said. I tell you what that man was. A friend, that man that was carrying that cross had to be in step with the Lamb of God. I friend, that the Lord Jesus was carrying the big end of it. I tell you, that man must have had the light end. He must have had the little end. When I tell you what he was looking at, he was looking at the back of a Savior. He was looking at the backside of it had been beaten and opened up. A friend, that you and I could be saved. He was looking at the footprint. And I believe this, he was trying to put his foot where the Lord's foot said. He was trying to be in step with Him. Spiritually speaking, they laid the yoke on Him. Christ's yoke. Now, did the Lord give him the heavy end? I don't believe it for a minute. No, I don't. He gave him an end that he could carry. Now, you just let that soak a minute. He said, take up your cross daily and follow me. Now that man was pulled out of the crowd. That man was pulled out of the crowd, and you know what he said? We want you to bear the yoke after this man. We want you to carry this. I say this, there's no contradiction of Scripture. The Lord carried the cross. But friend, this man, our friend, got the light in, and he was in step with the Lord Jesus Christ. Our friend, you just think about this. Can you imagine what he was hearing? Our friend, while they was headed up Golgotha, can you imagine what that man was hearing? Wonder what the Lord was talking about. Our friend, while the blood was streaming down his back, running down his legs, our friend, running in the footprint, there was a man that was setting his foot, our friend, on right in the blood, right in the footprints and in the blood of the blessed Lamb of God. You know what he had? Our friend, he had a light burden. Our friend, the Lord was carrying the heavy end of it. Come, learn of me. So every time that we're here in the church, we're learning, we're understanding, we're being enlightened. The Word of God is being opened up. We're hearing about Jesus. Are we ready? Are we ready? Are we wearied enough? Have we labored enough? Are we burdened down enough? Are we guilty enough? Are we enough of a sinner tonight to come and to lay our lives down and say, Lord, would you take my yoke? Father, would you take my sin? Would you take my weariness? Would you refresh me? Lord, would you revive me? God, would you resurrect me? Would you help me, Lord, as far as in the sight of your Father? Lord Jesus, I'm a dead person. Could you bring a resurrection to my life? He can. You'll have to be coupled with him, though. You'll have to be one with him. The yoke makes us one, doesn't it? Though you might look out there and you might see two animals, but you know if they're in step with one another, friend, they're pulling as one, right? So you and I are one with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. When you and I are saved, we're brought into the family of God by the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. God the Holy Ghost comes to dwell with us, to live with us, to make His abode with us. And friend, we're the three of us. There's God the Son. There's God the Holy Spirit that lives within us. And friend, we're made apart. We're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. Our friend, we're made one in the family of God. You know this? What did he say? He said, the wife shall leave. You'll have to leave your father and mother, and the two shall become one. Right? Now what are we? We're the bride. We'll have to leave the land of our nativity. We'll have to leave our father and mother. We'll have to leave our thinking, and we'll have to leave that and be joined with our husband, and the two shall become one. Come unto me. Don't go to church. And don't take me wrong. Don't go to the church. Don't go to the altar. Don't go to the baptizing hole. None of that will ever satisfy. None of that will get the burden off. None of that will take the weariness away. None of that will bring refreshing. None of that will take any of the load away. But he said, come unto me. If you'll come unto me, he said, I'll bear your burden. I'll take your load. I'll make the offering unto God. I'll satisfy what God needs. I will satisfy, friend, the requirements of God for you. Come and learn of me. Come unto me, all you that are weak and heavy laden. You know, the prodigal son was down at the hog pen. And he would have filled his belly with a husk. He was starving to death. And he would have filled his belly with a husk that the swine did eat. And he remembered. Isn't that something that God brought back? A remembrance. You know, I don't know how long it was from the time that his father gave him his inheritance until the time that he remembered. But I'd say there was a long period of time there that he forgot about the father, wouldn't you? He went away from him. He left that land. He went into a far country. He went away from the knowledge of the Father. He went away from the presence of the Father. But I tell you, friend, there came a day when he got down low enough, when he got sick enough, when he got scared enough, when he got hungry enough, when he got loaded down enough, and when his burden became so heavy that he could no longer bear it, he remembered that he had a Father that loved him. Right. And he had a Father that had an abundance. Come unto me, all you that are weak and heavy laden. He got weak that day, didn't he? You know, the day he left, he was really stepping high, wasn't he? The day he left with that pocket full of money and all his ideas, he was really stepping high. But I tell you what he did. When he come back down the road, he was walking low, folks. When he came down the road, he said, I'll say to my father, I'm not even worthy to be called your son. I don't expect you to call me a son, but would you just allow me to come and to be one of your hired servants? I know that you got bread enough. I'll tell you, friend, he got down low enough, a friend, where he could get the burden off of him. You know something, a friend, if you get the yoke off of you, you may have to get down and bow your head. A friend for it to come over your neck. Right over your head. But if you could bow your neck and bow your head low enough, you know what the Lord could do?
He could take that yoke off of you. And friend, when you raised up, you wouldn't even know that you had a yoke on you, but it would be His. You'd be coupled with Him.
Wouldn't that feel good to be able to lay down at night and rest? Wouldn't it feel good to know, a friend, that the grace of God and the wonderful love and mercy of God had paid your sin debt? That you didn't have to bear it on your own. And every day that goes by, you'd run up a greater and greater sin debt. And here was somebody that had paid the whole bill. And said, come and couple up with me. Come and get in the yoke with me. Come, all you that are weak and heavy laden. Here's another man. Listen to this man. Acts chapter 9. Here's a man. Listen to him. And he said, Lord, Acts chapter 9, verse number 4. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying, I tell you what, he's getting low, isn't he? Now, just a chapter or two before, you know what he's doing? He's down there consenting unto the death of Stephen. He's down there persecuting and he's going into houses. He's going into houses and commending people to prison and commending them to death. But you know something? Death came to his house on the Damascus Road. Almighty God came to his house and Paul came down. You might say, well, his name is Saul. However you want to look at it, friend, one of them was a Hebrew name, one was a Greek name, or you can say that God changed his name when he saved him. It doesn't matter to me. It's the same man, either way you want to see it. And friend, after this, he's a new man. But the Bible says in verse number 4, he fell down to the ground, down to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Lord, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest, for it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Listen at him. He's coming on down. And he, trembling and astonished, said unto him, Lord, what would thou have me to do? He said, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told what thou must do. You know what he's doing? I tell you, Paul is striving. Paul is agonizing. Our friend, in the heart of Paul right now, and whether you want to believe it or not, our friend, I believe this, over in the book of Corinthians, he says, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Our friend, for 3 days, Paul is under the terror of the Lord. 3 days, Paul is under conviction and no salvation. 3 days, Paul is praying. 3 days, Paul is agonizing. 3 days, friend, Paul, a friend, is wrestling with his own mind and the Word of God. You know what he got? He had an opportunity to get that yoke off of him. And to take the yoke of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. You think this man's under conviction? You think this man is considering the terror of the Lord? I believe he is. I believe in his mind for 3 days, he hears this. I am Jesus who thou persecutest. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. You know what Paul's got? Paul is a blasphemer. Paul is a murderer. Paul is a persecutor. And Paul has heard the voice of Almighty God, a friend, come through the person of Jesus Christ. And he said, you have been kicking against me, persecuting me, railing on me. And you know something? You're a lost man. You talk about a yoke. Weary. And heavy laden. Here is a man that is weak, burdened, heavy laden. 3 days, three nights, no eat, no drink, no nothing. But God said to Ananias, go down there. Behold, he prayeth. There's the striving. There's the laboring to enter into his rest. You ever labored, strove to get into the rest of God? Peter said this. Peter said to the crowd, or they said to Peter in 2:34, I believe it is. Maybe it's 37. Now when they heard, what did they hear? Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts, and they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and the brethren, what shall we do? I tell you, they got to the place that they were brought down, and they were wearied, and they were heavy laden. You know what? They wanted that off of them. The Philippian jailer run in and fell down before him and cried out, what must I do? Right there is a place we got to get to. There's the wrestling. There's the labor. There's the laboring to enter into his rest. Just a little more and we'll hush. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. So he has compassion. You know, he condescended. He came all the way down from heaven to the cross, to death on the cross, and became obedient that you and I would be able to be brought into the family of God.
Right.
I am meek and lowly in heart. How much lower? You answer me this. If you think you're right with God, you tell me, how much lower could the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ have gone to reach down to you? To surrender, to willingly lay his life down and allow them to nail him to a cross, stand him up naked before the world, that you could be saved, and you're still going to try to make it on your own. You better labor. You better strive to enter in to his rest. Because your sin debt is getting greater every day. And every time that you come here, your knowledge is getting greater. So your accountability is greater as well. For my yoke is easy. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. So that word, my yoke is easy, that word means gracious, sweet, or pleasant. And my burden is light. This is what he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul says this. Second Corinthians chapter 1. I'm sorry, give me just a second. Verse number 5. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful that when the troubles and the weight of the yoke becomes heavy and it seems unbearable,
He said, the consolation of Christ aboundeth as well. You know what he's going to do? I tell you, friend, that he's going to make it to where I can endure. He's going to make it by the grace of God and by being in step with him. He's going to make it to where I am able to endure of that trouble and that sorrow and that I'm going through. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. So as you and I are laboring and suffering and having tribulation and trouble in this life, you know what he said? He said, my grace is going to abound for you. In you. He says to us in chapter 4. I believe it's 4 and 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. He's carried it, folks. You know what you could do? You could rest in him. He said on Calvary, right before he hung his head, he said, it is finished. Thank God, the plan of salvation, the plan of redemption, the plan that Almighty God had to redeem man from his burden, from the weight of his sin, from his labor. You know what? Isn't it wonderful that God made a Sabbath? God made a Sabbath for man. He didn't make man for the Sabbath. But he made the Sabbath for man, so man's laboring 6 days a week. And it says on the Sabbath day, you just rest and worship me. And then you know what he says? He says, he is our Sabbath. He is our rest. I can rest in him if all that I had was what Joshua gave us over there in the Middle East. Friend, if that's all I had to rest in, I don't have any rest. You know something? Friend, you can have a half an acre and work yourself to death, and you'll never, ever, ever get to rest. But I tell you this, friend, when the Lord Jesus laid down at Calvary, friend, arose again from the dead, ascended back to God the Father, and sent us the Holy Ghost, you know what I can do? Praise God, I can rest in that. Come. Come unto me. Come unto who? Come unto Jesus. Come unto Jesus. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And take my yoke upon you. And my soul. And you shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Thank God you and I can have a rest in the Lord Jesus Christ and quit worrying. Thank God I'm not worried. I'm not worried about my salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ was crucified and rose from the dead for my sin. Oh, I'm going to rest in that.